There's so many people these days making music. It's because of the wonder of the music industry that had changed. Now, you don't have to be signed or anything like that. You just need a voice, passion, and maybe you need to know a few people. Like Maritza Vermeulen is the artist that we're getting to know today. And Maritza, hello, how are you doing?
Hi, Janine. I'm good, and you?
I'm fine. I'm fabulous. Thank you very much. So let's introduce you. Firstly, where do you live?
I am from Witbank. They call it Imalahleni.
Moss.
In Mpumalanga, yes.
And family, who's the people around you?
I don't really have family around me. My family is mostly in Pretoria.
What do you do for a living?
I am a stay-at-home mom, so I'm actually very busy at home writing songs. And so it's actually not a very busy lifestyle for me.
So stay-at-home mom, that means how many kids?
Yes, two.
And what ages?
We have a boy and a girl. My boy is 12 and our girl is turning 10.
Oh, my word. What kind of mommy are you? Are you like the play in the grass kind of mommy or you're quite strict? How are you?
I would say I'm the strict kind of mommy. Yeah, when things need to be done, you must get it done. Everything must be in order, yes. After that, there's always time for play.
Wonderful. So if you had to describe your personality to someone, so is perfectionism one of it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, perfectionism. I'm more of a shy kind of person, but I also love to interact with people. So I think it's very balanced.
So when it comes to the music, I mean, for a shy kind of person to get on a stage and start making music, was that daunting originally?
It was. In the beginning, it was terrible for me because I had a struggle to get on stage and actually get so far to just say something to the people. It felt like everything in me was shivering, if I can use the word. I felt anxious. And at the beginning, I couldn't get so far to just say something or explain what the song was about. Yes.
But you are one of those who took part in like competitions, that's you getting on a stage with people listening and critiquing what you're doing. I mean, that's even more daunting than getting on a stage and ministering.
Yes, yes. Yes, that's me. But it took a lot of motivation and it was way out of my comfort zone. But that was only the beginning for me. So that's where everything actually started. It helped me to get over that fear, to actually just say something, just because it's normal people sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
And they are there to listen to you and they want to know what the message is about.
Yeah, because it's more than the music, hey? But I'm just thinking, sure, when you say you got to get past yourself, it's like God had just thrown you in at the deep end. I mean, why did you take part in the first place when you're that scared on stage?
It's because of that feeling inside of me. Since I started, I was always scared. But there was always something inside of me telling me not to give up. Don't give up. Just keep going. Even though I hated the way that I sounded, and even though I didn't feel good about my singing at the very beginning, there was always this something. I say it's the Holy Spirit that led me to where I am now.
And then you got into the top 20. So that's a confidence boost. And now these days you're performing at ladies' mornings and that kind of thing. So by now, are you in it?
Yes, it's much better for me now. I don't have to go and sit and plan out everything. Most of the time, it comes naturally for me.
Oh, that's a much better place to be. So where does the music come from? Is this from family or are you the first one in the family to be so musical?
Actually, my whole family on my mother's side is very musical. All my mother's sisters is singing, not professionally, but they all have beautiful voices. And on my father's side, my grandparents on my father's side, they are musical. They didn't sing, but they played instruments. And the drama, if I can say drama, the drama is a big thing in my family on my mother's side.
So performing and that kind of thing, getting on a stage is not out of the blue itself. But you say you write your own music. I mean this is the 10th song already that you've actually produced. So when did you start writing and why?
I started, it's actually a huge testimony because I started writing right after we had the accident with our daughter. She turned two, and a month after she turned two, we had an accident with her where we almost lost her. And we, at that time, we were very far from God. So we were actually living in the world. And that made us to realize that there's so much more to life than what we are busy with. So I wrote my first song, Onbeschrijflijke Genade, about the whole process and the way God protected our daughter. Because the doctor said to me that there's a possibility that your daughter might not make it through the night.
Sure.
Yes, that made me to start write songs.
Do that first song of yours. What happened? Tell me about the accident.
We were on vacation, and when we came back, this was actually our first family vacation. So we were so excited, and everything was good, and everything went well, and it was the best place in our life at that stage. We bought our first house and everything was just good. So we came from vacation and we were not that type of parents who didn't put the kids in car seats or put the kiddie locks on and so on. But that specific day, when we came back from holiday, we also started moving into our new house. And with this happening, it so happened that when we drove away from the new house, because we went there to have a look at the place and decided what we are going to move first. And when we made our decision, we left the house and we drove off to the old house to start moving some stuff. And while we were driving, my daughter opened the door. And we didn't notice that she was not in the car seat and that the kiddie locks was off. And then she opened the door and she fell out.
That must be such a shock for a parent. I mean, you must have heard a noise or something, look back and...
Yes, yes. And that gave me so much nightmares because I do remember I heard this... I can't really explain it. It was a soft noise on my right side at the back, like the wheels turning on the road. And then when I looked back, she was already hanging on the door.
Oh, my word.
And then
oh, my word.
Everything went like slow-mo. And I saw her losing grip of the door. And then I saw her, how she fell on the road. Yes.
So you go to the hospital, you didn't even know whether she would be surviving. What is she doing these days? Or how is she?
She's perfectly normal. Praise God for that.
What age is she now?
She is turning 10.
Can she remember it?
She does remember a little bit, but she said it was actually very funny. She said she thought that she fell on a cactus bush. We had a laugh about it. And so I'm actually so glad that she can't really remember because she had a huge bump on the head. And the doctor took scans and everything, and they say that the only thing, she doesn't have brain damage, nothing. And she only had a crack in the skull at the back of her head.
Yeah.
She didn't have any broken bones, no open wounds, just little scrapes. And then she had the huge bump in front of her on the front of her head and on the back.
So having gone through that, and now you turn your life back to Jesus and you find out, okay, there's more, because obviously there's a reason you end up in the world, and a lot of it happens gradually. And then many times God allows stuff to happen in your life with a specific purpose to get you to turn around and look to him again. What changed in your life then when you had turned back to God? What actually practically had changed then?
Well, there's actually a lot of things that changed. First of all, we also used to joke about it because we used to plan our church around our life.
Yeah.
Going to church, we planned that around our lifestyle. But now we plan our lifestyle around the church. And after this accident, my husband actually decided, well, he didn't decide because it was a feeling. He felt that he had to go and study theology.
Wow.
So first of all, both me and my husband, we got baptized in the river in Pretoria. And after that, he decided that he wanted to go study theology. So I did it with him, both of us. We studied theology, and I did the first 2 years with him. And today he is an ordained pastor.
Sure. And what about your love for the word, for instance?
Meaning our love for the word.
Well, obviously, when you don't know Jesus, there's absolutely no motivation or love for the word to actually read it and to incorporate that those truths in your life. But it's like a switch that goes on something. Suddenly the Bible gets personal, isn't it?
Yes, it does. And it's like every time you read something, you can read one verse like 10 times or for 10 separate days. And then each time when you read it, there might be a different message for you.
For sure. And then your music itself, because there's a huge difference between writing your little songies and putting them on your phone and enjoying your little music, you know, or singing with a radio or singing in church, but to actually go and record your stuff. What convinced you that that would be the next step now?
Well, I believe it's the Holy Spirit that convinced me. And when I write, I tend to write stuff from the Word. Every song contains a testimony about something that has happened where God came through for us and changed our life. And every time when I tell people about this, or let me say minister to them, because it's ministry, when I share this with them, I can see how it touches their hearts. And that made me decide to go and record.
And it is that when you do have something official, like a recorded song or a recorded CD, somehow it does give you a greater platform to go out and minister, isn't it? It's like people, as if people take you more seriously.
Yes, it does. But for a while, it was quite quiet, if I can say so. But it's like people start to notice you more when you start to record and get your music out there.
And have you heard stories about what people think and how the songs actually mean something to people?
Yes, I have. There was actually one lady who phoned me and she said, "Do you know that you are actually ministering to so many people through your music?" And that was so nice to hear. A lot of people, they start to cry when they listen to the music. And I said, all that I want to do is to touch hearts. I want to touch hearts and make people feel the presence of Jesus when they listen to this music.
Hmm.
And that is what's happening.
And that is meaningful. I mean, you could have sung anything. You could sing about the flowers and the sun, for goodness sake. Anything is out there. But you're actually choosing to sing gospel music because making music for Jesus has an eternal consequence.
Yes, it does.
Sure. Now you've got the microphone and you're speaking to the country and you've learned life lessons as you've gone through life the hard way, whether it's with the accident or just with small things that you happen to go through. You're also somewhere in the Bible that you're reading. If you had to share something with this country at the moment that you think would help, what would you want to say to South Africa?
What I would say is that nowadays there's so many people feeling like they are living in the desert, or they are moving around in a desert and they're not getting anywhere because there's so many stuff from the world that gets us, that's cluttering us, and we don't hear the voice of God anymore. So my heart is for everybody to just get quiet in yourself and don't focus so much on what's going on in the world, even your situation. Most of the time we try to solve our problems by ourselves, where we are actually supposed to just give it all to God and let him fix our problems. So if you set your eyes on God and you give your problems to God, then he will sort it out. He will be the compass for you to get out of your desert.
Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all things. Yes. And God will direct your path. Okay, so if people want to follow you obviously make music and more music is to come. So if people want to follow you and stay up to date with what you're doing, where do they go to?
Okay, so I'm on Facebook. They can find me at Maritza Vermeulen Gospel Singer on Facebook. And then I'm also on Instagram. And if anybody wants to contact me, they can send me an email at maritzavermeulen@gmail.com. Or they can phone me or WhatsApp me at 079-3310-539.
She's had to give that number a few times. You can somewhere hear it. 079-3310-539. All right. And that Maritza is Marit with a T-Z-A at the end. Maritza Vermeulen. Okay, so we're going to listen to Kompas. Now, that's your song that we're releasing today. And I want to ask you, obviously the song needs to speak for itself as well, but what's the message that you want me to get when I listen to your song?
Well, basically that God is the compass. And if you let God lead you or lead the way, you will never get lost. God is there. He's waiting for you to make that decision to follow him and to let him lead you in every situation.